A house divided against itself cannot stand. In the name of the Trinity, perfect in love, perfect in union, calling us to communion. Amen. A house divided will not stand. There are forces in this world that slither into the cracks and the corners of our hearts and divide. There are situations and circumstances that put a splinter, a small splinter, into a sore spot and hammer slowly but surely until that splinter has grown and a chasm becomes visible. There are forces in our lives that divide us against ourselves, that cause strong structures to crumble, that take unity and sow seeds of division, that seek opposition and polarization. There is a voice that slithers into each of us and whispers, "No one can see. No one can see what you're about to do. Just lie. No one will notice." A seed of malintent. What begins with unity can dissolve into discord, and the foundations seem to fall. Our own homes can even be divided against themselves. Elections of all kinds tend to bring out opposition. While walking through a neighborhood in North Toronto recently, I saw a detached home. And on that beautiful detached home with just one car in the driveway, I saw three different electoral signs. A red one, an orange one, a blue one. A house divided indeed. In our first reading from the creation myth of our biblical ancestors, we receive a vision of the first descent into discord. Before our passage today, all is green in the Garden of Eden. There's a deep unity and harmony between the humans and the natural world and their creator and one another, until a small voice creeps in and says, "Take for yourself, God cannot see." The voice of self-centeredness stung, and its poison still pervades. Adam and Eve broke the bonds of their promise to God and their bond to each other as they shift the blame back and forth. They eat this mythical fruit that gives them an awareness that they can choose. They can choose to disobey God. What a revelation! They can choose to overstep the bounds of harmony, and they can lie about it. With one bite, there is discord in the garden, the peace is ruptured, and they look down at their own beautiful flesh, and for the first time, they feel shame. So they cover their bodies. They feel disassociated from their own nature, disconnected from the earth, and they look at each other with suspicion. And then they hear the sound of God walking towards them in the garden. They hear his footsteps and they hide themselves. And God asks, like a big parent, "Why are you hiding? Why are you ashamed of the bodies I gave you?" God asks, "Did you do the one thing I asked you not to do?" So the man blames God. "You created her and she tricked me." Have you heard that one before? And she blames the snake. And here we have the first lies, the first hiding, the first bodily shame, the first conflict between God and persons, and persons from one another, and people from animals. And this is the fruit of the small seeds of discord that blossoms into a fruit that is bitter to taste. And now we have a house divided, a first fall of the structures. Saint Augustine, an African theologian of the 4th century, wrote that the soul lapses by pride into certain actions of its own power, and neglecting the universal law has fallen into doing certain things private to itself, and this is called turning away from God. He continues, God created humanity not that we might sin, but that we might add beauty to the whole. God created humanity not for private hoarding or putting ourselves first, but for turning from the self outward to others, to creation, to God, our partners, our community, our families, and adding our own particular touch of beauty to that whole. Jesus, in our gospel reading today, speaks about the power of the divide and conquer technique, the power of evil to divide communities. Last week, I was blessed to be present with Kairos, a nonprofit that the Anglican Church of Canada is a member of, a full member. And I was there when they announced internationally their new Woman of Courage program that Global Affairs Canada has pledged to provide $5 million over a 5-year period to support. The Women of Courage program seeks to provide psycho-spiritual, emotional, social, and empowerment to women whose communities and homes have been divided by conflict. They specifically support grassroots Indigenous women's organizing in the Philippines, Palestine, Colombia, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and South Sudan. Their program works to support women on the ground that are already doing that work of healing, to heal from the trauma of war, and to aid in their own empowerment in peace negotiations in their community. And the idea behind it is that women have an integral, vital role in creating peace in divided homes. I was privileged to hear firsthand stories and the voices of women from these countries who survived conflict, whose homes were divided for the purpose of conquering. For example, I heard stories from the women in the Philippines whose communities were occupied illegally by a Canadian mining company. The company came in to divide the community and conquer. These companies hire paramilitary forces who then use strategic tactics of sexual violence against women and girls in the community. This terror destabilizes their homes, creating spirals of shame and disassociation from one another. It weakens the foundations of the community. And likewise, the men in the community experience demasculating forms of violence and then forced dislocation. Their villages are plundered and crushed to make way for clear-cutting and the mine to exist there. The families are forced to flee. One woman I heard speak said, "As Indigenous peoples in the Philippines, we use the forest as our medicines. But being forced to leave our homes that are burned, we lose access to the land and the waters that heal us. We move to big cities where we don't know how to survive and where we can't earn a living. So our families are divided. Us women, we go to Canada or China and we work as caregivers. We take care of other people's families while our own families are divided across time zones. We are migrant workers who are mistreated in Canada, while we had to flee our own homes because of the mining." There are countless forces that slither into our homes, our communities, our families, and force a divide to open, that knock out the foundations of our communities and watch homes fall for the sake of profit, for the boundless lust of resource extraction, for reasons untold and unnumbered. Jesus, in our gospel reading today, speaks about the power of the divide and conquer technique, and how a new community, a new kinship, must be built on the premise of doing God's will, not of blood or cultural lines. And what is it to do God's will? But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in prayer with our God, as the prophet Micah so beautifully proclaimed. Kairos is a coalition of different churches in Canada that seeks to stand in solidarity with people across the world who are working to heal their own divided communities. They work to heal with people that are protecting their communities from being divided from resource extraction. They work with communities of migrant workers that are seeking safety in Canada and wanting to bring their families that they have been separated from here to live with them. They work with families healing from the trauma of war and the residual domestic violence that haunts families living in conflict zones. These efforts of international solidarity disrupt the enforced divides that our borders put on our human family. God created humanity not that we might divide and conquer, but that we might add our particular beauty to the whole. This past Friday, we celebrated our second annual Ngani Gichigami, which means Lake Ontario, Gratitude Walk and Festival. Our water festival is intentionally interfaith. People from different religions and cultures and traditions come together to pray. And there, at the shores of Lake Ontario, we learned from different religious traditions, Indigenous elders and organizations, such as Mining in Action Justice Network, about their work to heal our relationship with the land and the waters, and what we as Canadians can do to support people living in countries like the Philippines whose communities are affected. We came together as a diverse community to pray for all those that live under injustice, and to pray for a renewed commitment to solidarity with the land, the waters, one another, across all borders. These interfaith and intercultural acts of solidarity are important in this age of increased isolation and suspicion. These seemingly small public acts of interfaith worship, like our water festival, was intended to draw all people together through feasting, through laughter, through prayer, through different activities, to bring a sight of unity out of discord. One of our activities at the water festival was to invite people to contribute just one stroke, one color, one touch of a paintbrush to a large canvas of whatever color they preferred. And you can see this canvas over here by the baptistry. And hundreds of people were invited to make their little mark. They added a line of beauty to make a whole. And we asked them, we said, when you make your mark on this canvas, when you contribute to this beauty to make a whole painting, let that stroke be an intention. Let it be a commitment for you to live in right relationship with your Creator and God's creation. That this painting would stand as our collective agreement to safeguard the integrity of creation and all our relations. So now this collage painting is here in our west side of the cathedral, and I invite you to take a look at it today. To look at it in its kind of chaos and beautiful different colors as little kids participated and all kinds of other folks. To look at it as an act of unity. For a house united will stand, even through turbulent and difficult times as these. For there is much that divides us, divides our families, our communities, and even our church. Yet there is much that unites us and can yoke us to one another. So how can we, in our church, in our province, in our families of origin or our chosen families, how can we seek unity and the building up of a whole rooted in the doing of justice, the loving of mercy, and the walking humbly with God? Jesus calls us to build up our communities, to support healing, to plant seeds of peace in the midst of conflict, whatever conflict we find ourselves in, and to live lives marked by the unity of God's love. For God created humanity, not that we might harm, but that we might add beauty to the whole.